kind of, yeah, let's go get this. Let's go get this. Father, we honor you now and bless you. Open us up so that we receive clearly, Father, from you. That my speech, preaching, and teaching will not be with enticing words of men's wisdom, but in demonstration of your spirit and power. May we continue to grow deeper, Father, more passionate and effective in the why behind all of our lives. And furthermore, Father, we just want to take time too on this first Sunday here to pray for our new president and vice president. Father, we pray for President Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris, Father, that your grace will rest mightily upon them. That, Father, that they will lead and govern from a place of relationship with you. That you will indeed protect them and keep them safe from all harm and all danger, praise God. That you'll surround them with godly counsel, dear God. And may they have hearing ears to hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying unto our country, praise God. We thank you for that. And we give you praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen, praise God. Hallelujah. So we began here in John chapter 4, verse 27 to 34. Says, just then his disciples came back. They were shocked to find him talking to a woman, but none of them had the nerve to ask, what do you want with her? Or why are you talking to her? The woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging Jesus, Rabbi, eat something. But Jesus replied, and here's where I again want us to focus in on. He says, I have a kind of food you know nothing about. Come on now, was Jesus a vegan? Was Jesus on the keto diet? I mean, what was going on? What is he talking about here? He says, there's something that satisfies me. There's something that fulfills me you all haven't tapped into yet. And the disciples, they're clueless. They're like, did someone, you know, bring him some food while we were gone? The disciples asked each other. Said, then Jesus explained, says, my nourishment, what fulfills me, what satisfies me, comes from doing the will of God who sent me and from finishing his work. In other words, Jesus says, I get my nourishment and I get satisfied by living according to my why. The why I am here, and the why I am here is to do the will of God and finish the work that he sent me to do. Now listen, if that was Jesus' why, your why, mine is connected to the same thing. Come on now, doing the will of God and finishing that work. So us helping to finish that work is that we help to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. That's how we help to finish the work that God started, watch this, that he started, praise God, in the very beginning, that he continued through the Lord Jesus Christ, and now he is expecting you and I to fulfill as well, that we are equipping all people to grow fully in Christ, praise God. That was the why. Now, the thing that you want to, you know, make sure you derive from this passage in particular is that why is the key to a fulfilled life. If you want to live a fulfilled life, you got to make sure that you center down on your why. Remember again, when you know your why, you will never lose your way. If you find yourself, watch this, in that funky place. Anybody know what I'm talking about, that funky place? Anybody ever been in that funky place before? Come on, come on. We ain't too pleasant when we're in that funky place. When you get over into that funky place, you have misplaced your why. Your focus is on something else. You have to come back to, why has God put me here at this particular time? Why am I in this place right here, right now? Why am I locked in right here, right now, online? Why? Because God has a purpose for your life, for you to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Our why, remember, is universal. I've said it already a few times, and you're going to hear me say it several more times. We exist to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Now listen, our sense of individuality wants to have something different. We're like, well, that may be your why, but that's not really my why. My why is something else. No. Listen, your why and mine is universal. It's the same. It's the same. The reason why God has you here right now is so that you will equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Because God wants nothing more than to see lives transformed and brought to him. Nothing more. That is God's top priority. So your why and mine is the absolute same. Now listen, the individuality comes in what we do, how we do it, when we do it, where we do it, even who we do it with. There's the individuality that begins to spark from us, but all of us share the exact same why. And when you know your why, then you have the proper foundation to determine your what, your how, your when, and watch this, even who. See, knowing my why helped me to determine, you know, who was good for me to marry and who was good for me not to marry. You know, there's some people that's good for you not to marry. There's some folks that's been married and divorced that said amen real loud on that. They said, yes, amen. But see, knowing my why helped to bring the focus in. Helped to bring the focus that, oh, okay, if this is my why, watch this. I want to be connected with someone who has the same why, that understands the same why, I should say. Because we all have it. It's just a matter of whether a person understands it, embraces it or not. And it helped to shape, praise God, you know, now the marriage that I have, you know, that this year is 20 years. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Praise God. And I'm talking about 20 sweet good years too, praise God. Huh? Yes, amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. How you doing over there, baby? Okay, praise him. Mm-hmm. Remember, why remains significant as long as the who is preeminent. So the moment you know Jesus is no longer preeminent, you're going to lose way of the why. And this is where we talked about your life with Jesus has to be more than just a prayer that you prayed. I'm sorry, Lord, forgive me and accept me. Amen. Well, praise God. That's good, but it's got to be more. Come on. My prayer for every single last one of us is that we have fresh encounters with God every day. Come on, fresh encounters where we come and we see him face to face. And we allow what we see then to begin to change our lives. Glory. Now remember, in order to understand and embrace the big picture behind your life, again, your why, your career, your marriage, your church, we have to come to certain decisions. And this is what I shared with you on last week. Three questions you have to answer, and you got to answer them properly. Number one, who will be your number one? Who's going to be number one? This has to be, say it with me, it's God over everything. Come on, online too, say it with me, it's God over everything. Absolutely, praise God. Number two is, how will you relate to God? Will you relate to God based upon a sense of religion or relationship? Most of us were introduced relating to God based upon religion. And watch it. And it's hard to work some of that old stuff out. But God is calling you and I to relate to him based upon a relationship, not upon a set of rules and do's and don'ts. Third question you got to answer is this. After now you determine that you're going to relate to God, you know, based upon relationship, is that what will be your focus then? In the relationship, what will be your focus? Will it be what Jesus did or what you do? See, because when we get focused in on what we do, we're kind of succumbing to that whole spirit of religion again. Where you think that your sense of righteousness or holiness is based upon what you do. Ladies and gentlemen, that's based upon what Jesus already did for you. And see, when we relate this way where we're concerned, then we relate to other people that way too. And then we look at other people like, you're not as holy as I am. You're not as righteous as I am. Based upon what? It's definitely that's not based upon the blood of Jesus. Because based upon the blood, we're all equally just as righteous, equally just as holy. And it doesn't matter the title, pastor, bishop, apostle, doctor, whatever the case may be. That gives us no extra bonus. The blood of Jesus makes us righteous, makes us holy, praise God. So you have to understand, focus on the right thing. Don't focus on what you do. Focus on what Jesus did, and it will impact what you do. Please catch the last part of that too. But now this week, here's how we're going to wrap up, praise God. I hope you're with me. And that's just simply on the subject matter of now what. So we've taken the time to really explain the why, the significance of making sure the why is connected to, you know, the right who, answering, you know, certain questions. So now what? I'm glad you asked. Let's go into it because I'm ready. Proverbs chapter 24, verse 3 says this. Through skillful and godly wisdom is a house, a life, a home, a family built. And by understanding, it is established on a sound and good foundation. My goodness. Come on now. If you want your life, your home, your family to be built, you want to make sure it's built upon godly wisdom. Come on now, not secular wisdom, not just simply, you know, academic wisdom, but on godly wisdom. Now, what I've been sharing with you over this entire month is some godly wisdom that you want to make sure that you are taking in and allowing to transform your lives, praise God. Listen, the message is never done until you do it. It's not done when I say amen. Oh, okay, that was good, that was good. No, it's not done until you do it. And if you never do it, you have a bunch of incomplete messages in your life. So catch this first point. Don't spiritualize your why and limit it to just church life. We exist to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Now, religion, kind of that erroneous response to God's word would be, okay, that's for church. That's what I do for church. No. This is our why that impacts our life, our career, our family, church, community, our city, everything. Don't spiritualize this to just your church life. Please, employ your why in everything. Equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Well, watch this. Who should be the first? Who should be the first that we want to see grow fully in Christ? Let me help you. You. You can't help anybody become what you're not. Come on. Turn to the neighbors. That's a good place to say amen right there. You cannot help anyone become what you are not. And see, and that's part of the problem. That's part of the problem in Christendom. You know, people are trying to help people become what they're not themselves. Become fully in Christ yourself. And that's a process. It's not an arrival place. It's a continued ongoing process. But watch this. The first person that you should be having the mindset of growing fully in Christ is you, me, praise God. But then after that, naturally it should be our family. Come on, listen, let me speak to all of my married couples. What greater desire could you have for your spouse than to want to see them grow fully in Christ? Is there something more important than that? Please help me, because I don't understand it. I don't see it. You should want your spouse to grow fully in Christ. So that's how you approach them. That's how you relate to them, from your why. This is how we raise our children. Come on now. What greater desire can you have for your children than to want to see them grow fully in Christ? But see, that stuff doesn't happen by happenstance. It happens intentionally. When you're living with a mindset of this is my why, this is what I do. This is what I do in every relationship. This is how now I relate, you know, with my family, praise God, now my extended family. You know, I'm interacting with them based upon the fact that I want to help to equip them grow fully in Christ, praise God. They just may want to hang around me because they like me, but you are a person on a mission. You live by a why, praise God. Come on now, this is how you conduct your business. This is how you connect with your classmates. Come on now, this is how you connect with and interact and relate to your friends and your neighbors. Come on. If you're really going to be a friend, watch this, especially if you call yourself my friend, please, I hope you want me to grow fully in Christ. I hope that's your number one desire. Come on, Pastor, I love you, man, but I want to see you grow fully in Christ, praise God. That should be our heart desire for all the relationships in our lives. So we let it drive us from this place. We don't just simply spiritualize this for a church thing. This is how we approach life in general. Can someone out there say amen? Watch this. This should be how we approach the endeavors we look to pursue. Come on now. The endeavors we look to pursue should foster the sense of helping to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. If the endeavors that we are pursuing, you know, is taking us off to a different angle, watch this, it's dividing us, it's dividing our attention, it's pulling us, you know, off of our why. A few years ago, Spirit of God really began to deal with me about something, and it was about going back to school. Years ago, I had started a program, a Master's of Divinity program, and I stopped in the midst of that, and I began to go to our school of ministry, you know, Bible training center and so forth, and that was tremendous, absolutely, you know, loved it. But I never finished, you know, that master's degree. So a few years ago, maybe about 4 years, maybe 5 years ago, your Spirit of God really kind of, you know, spoke to me like, okay, get back in there and do this. And I was on the verge, and then I started looking at different things, and different things were going on, and I made a lot of excuses. Anyone know what I'm talking about? And I didn't do it. So as 2020 is wrapping up, you know, here's the Spirit of the Lord says, I still hadn't changed my mind. He's like, I still remember what I told you, even if you don't. I said, wait a minute. So I was just like, okay, wait a minute, God. So I started the process. And then there were some hiccups in the process, you know, from the school that I was applying to, them responding to me, you know, like a couple of my emails wind up going into their spam. They didn't see it until later. And so I had the opportunity for great excuses again. And then I come over into 2021. And again, it's this whole spirit of first fruits, like you heard us talking about with our offering. And just like, God, you know, I just present all of me to you. And the Spirit of God just reminds me that, well, if that's the case, why don't you do what I told you to do? I don't forget it, because on January 1st, this is the first time we ever did this, my wife and I, we presented an offering unto God. I was just moved like, you know what, let's do it today, January 1. We just gave an offering, praise God, you know, to the Almighty God. Talking about a financial offering, you know, obviously our lives as well. So in that process, though, and in that particular moment, God was like, now you follow up on it again. You call them, et cetera, et cetera. Make a long story short, this past week I got my acceptance, you know, from the university, Southeastern University. It's a Christian university in Lakeland, Florida. And I'm back over into my Master's of Divinity program, praise God. Hallelujah. So, amen. Let the stretching begin. And it's already started, praise God. Amen. Because my acceptance actually wound up coming about a week after classes officially started. So I'm playing catch up right from the beginning. But I trust God, his grace is upon me to be able to get it done. But watch this. Let me go back to the point, though. But see, that endeavor is connected to my why. So that I can be better equipped to help all people grow fully in Christ. There should be a harmony to all of our lives. Yeah. Yeah, praise God. Look at this from God's word. His blessing comes upon our submission. Got to yield to it. James chapter 1, verse 21 to 25. It says, so get rid of all of the filth and evil in your lives and humbly accept the word God has planted in your hearts. For it has the power to save your souls. But don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it's like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, come on, that's the gospel of Christ. And if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, watch the last part, then God will bless you for doing it. Oh, that's great. I love this. God says here, be sure that you allow what you hear to transform your life. He says, when you hear it, make an effort to do it. Now listen, don't do it just out of a sense of kind of, you know, obligation. Do it from a sense of transformation, that I'm becoming what has been spoken to me from God's word, from the heart and the spirit of God. I'm allowing that to become who I am. See, when you become it, then the doing is natural. See, it's only when we fake the doing that it becomes a struggle, because when you fake the doing long enough, the real you is going to show up to the party some point in time or another. And the real you going to be like, I don't want to do this anymore. No, you got to become it. You got to become it, praise God. Notice what he says, that when we don't do this, there sets in this confusion of identity. Anytime we hear God's word and we don't become it so that we can do it, a confusion of identity sets in. You see yourself one minute and you kind of walk away and you're completely oblivious now to what you really look like. There's this confusion of identity that winds up breeding chaos, dysfunction, and strife always. Let me get these two students I have right here, these impact students. Yes, you two ladies right there with the sweatshirts on, the hoodies on. Yeah, this way. Come on. Quick. Oh, these two beautiful young ladies here. Students here at Impact Church. Yeah. All right. So now watch this. These two, they both sing what I sing, praise God, you know, high schoolers. And now they're friends. Now, God has instruction for them. Matter of fact, we take, for example, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29. It says, be kind, you know, one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Now, they have a conflict. Girl, you wore the same earrings I was going to wear today. You know you weren't supposed to do that. You know what? You ain't my friend anymore. They're ready to fall out. You know folks fall out over silly stuff. But now the word of the Lord comes into them. They get instruction. They get counsel. Yet they get encouragement where they understand what Ephesians chapter 4, verse 29 says. That wait a minute now. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another. Just like God in Christ Jesus forgave you. Now, the moment she doesn't do that, let's just say Corvani's got the issue with Reagan. The moment she doesn't do that, then when she goes away, go ahead, you go away. She is immediately walking now and living in this confusion of identity. And the more she does this, the more, watch this, detrimental she'll be to all other future relationships. Because she's not really being who she's called to be. As appropriately as it is, she's really wearing a mask. And people don't really see who she really is. People see you're covering something up. Now, she thinks she's looking like me, maskless, like, look at me, I'm cute, I'm fine, all of that kind of stuff. Everybody else is like, no, you got something on your face. This is what happens when we allow our feelings to override everything. Come on now, you know how it is. You know, when people getting their feelings. See, now nobody wants to say, can somebody online shout glory to God? Come on, people get over into their feelings. And people get over into their feelings, and watch this, come on back over here. They get over into their feelings, and even though, watch this, they hear what God says. Come on, be kind one to another, tenderhearted. Come on, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ has forgiven you. Even though they hear that, they'd be like, whatever, and walk away. Now, don't look at her funny, because you've done it and I've done it too. And every time we do that, we go over into this now confusion of identity. And it sabotages the other relationships in our life. But on the other side of it, when we learn how to embrace what God has said, and we forgive one another, and therefore, you come on now, we hug a little bit. Oh, no, you can't hug it. Come on, social distancing. You're too close already. But in a normal world, you know, they might hug or something of that nature. Because they chose to act on God's word. And then, remember the last part of this passage. God says then, see, I bless that. A lot of people, you know, walk outside of the blessing because he will not yield to what God says. His blessing comes upon our submission. Thank you, ladies. Would you put your hands together for those two young ladies? They are a tremendous blessing, praise God. Remember this. Remember the indestructible nature of the church. Very key. Over in Matthew chapter 16, verse 15 through 18, it says this. Then he asked them, but who do you say I am? Because people were asking, you know, who's Jesus? It's a question everybody has to answer. Simon Peter answered, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. Come on, somebody say, ding, 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 ding. That's the winning answer right there. Jesus replied, you are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. Listen, there's some things you're only going to get right from God. And quite frankly, revelation of who he is, you got to get that right from him. Now, that doesn't mean, watch this, that we don't come together in church and things of that nature. No, it doesn't mean that. But it does mean that you need to have an encounter where you can really get revelation of just how much you have a good, good Father who loves you, praise God. Got to have it. But on the same side, there's some things you're not going to get but in relationship with some other people. Oh, didn't get as many amens right there. There are some things, watch this, there are some things that God has deposited and provided for you and deposited in someone else. And his expectation is that you would be in relationship with this person. Watch this, not that superficial relationship where y'all talk about nothing. Can we just talk? But you have some transparency and you begin to discuss some things. And then all of a sudden, some wisdom starts to flow out of that friend, flow out of that coworker, and you're like, man, thank you. Thank you so much. That blessed my life. Yeah, absolutely. Some things you're only going to get, you know, from relationship. But in this case, this core principle you got to get directly from your good, good father. Jesus says, you did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter, which means rock, and upon this rock, and the rock he's talking about is not Peter. It's just the rock of revelation that Jesus is the Son of the living God. He says, I will build my church and all the powers of hell will not conquer it. Ladies and gentlemen, please don't lose sight of this. No matter what comes against the church, when the church is really being the church, there's nothing any demon in hell on the earth, praise God, can do to stop the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's an indestructible nature that we have, but it is definitely tied to what we focus on. Let me say this, really three words. Well, I guess this might be six, because I'm going to double it. One vision, one voice, one victory. Come on now. One vision, one voice, one victory. Here's how the Spirit of God, you know, shared this with me. The church that is built upon the revelation that Jesus is Lord and rallies around one vision, speaks with one voice, and pursues one victory cannot be overcome. Cannot be overcome. This is why we talk about, you know, even kind of one of our cultural, you know, points and core values is that we are one team. One team, one vision, speaking with one voice, pursuing one victory. There's a tremendous power in the unity of the church. And see, what the enemy has fought to do now for millenniums is to create division within the body of Christ. Division within the church, because a house divided is not strong and cannot stand. But when the church understands how to abide in the unity that God intended, ladies and gentlemen, we are unstoppable. Unstoppable in the force of good that we can bring, you know, into our cities, to our communities, and to our world. Notice this in Genesis chapter 11. Verse 1 says, at one time, all the people of the world spoke the same language and used the same words. You know, that's incredible. That's incredible. So much confusion happens today because of language barriers. Come on now, somebody said something to you, you know, maybe they said it to you in English because they were translating it maybe from Spanish, but there's no really one English equivalent word. So they kind of picked one, but it didn't mean the same thing that they intended. So then you wind up getting an erroneous, you know, meaning. There's blockages in communication. Because anytime you kind of go from one language to the other, you begin to lose significant nuances. Here's a time where there is no, you know, variation of languages. There are no dialects of different languages. Everyone is using the same language, the same words. And they begin now to walk in something. The rest of it says, as the people migrated to the east, they found a plain in the land of Babylonia and settled there. They began saying to each other, come, let's build a great city for ourselves with a tower that reaches into the sky. This will make us famous and keep us from being scattered all over the world. But the Lord came down. Now, this is interesting. You don't see this happen, you know, very often in Scripture. But the Lord came down to look at the city and the tower the people were building. Look, he said, the people are united. And they all speak the same language. After this, nothing they set out to do will be impossible for them. Oh my goodness. This is phenomenal. Watch this. Being unified and possessing one voice and pursuing the same purpose is so powerful that God had to step in with humanity to disunify them. Now, it's not that he's against, you know, unity. Obviously, he's the one that establishes unity, praise God. But he looked at the situation and says, wait a minute, because of the fact that they have no clue about their why, what they will develop will be to their demise. He says, so I got to do something here because they've tapped over into something that they're not ready for yet. But see, I declare we're ready for it in Jesus' name. Come on, the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, we understand our why. We exist to equip all people to grow fully in Christ, praise God. We can rally around one vision. We can speak with one voice, and we can pursue one victory, praise God. And God says here, where these unsaved people who had no covenant with him was concerned, he says there's nothing that they would do that would be impossible. They could do anything like this. And I want you to understand, that's the heart that God wants for his church. That there's this sense of oneness, this sense of rallying around the same vision, the sense of having, you know, the same language, praise God, the sense of pursuing the exact same victory, praise God. The church is unlimited in our ability when we rally around one vision, speak with one voice, and pursue one victory, praise God. Yeah, we are unlimited. We are unlimited. Come on, I'm going to say it again. We are unlimited. Come on, I wish somebody would be excited. I say, you are unlimited, praise God. It's unlimited what we can do. It's unlimited the blessing and the force of God's goodness we can bring to bear upon our city and cities when we have one vision, we speak with one voice, and we pursue one victory. Yeah, this is the big picture behind why we are here. You know, on this past week, had a session with some of our dream team and leaders, you know, just within the church, and introduced to them something I want to introduce to you and everyone. When we start talking about having one voice, come on, one language, you know, that there are certain sounds of impact. Certain things, watch this, phrases and truths that we hold to, that we express and that we model. And the first one is just simply this, that we're just happy to help. We're happy to help. We look at things from a standpoint of, you know, I get to do this, not I have to do this. So when someone says, oh, well, thank you for bringing it up, I'm just happy to help. I'm happy that I can add value to your life. I'm happy now that I can be a part of the process of you growing fully in Christ. Happy to help. Second one is this, we love our city. See, again, God calls churches and calls people like us together so that we can be a part of the answer to people's prayers in our city. There are things that people are crying out for, people that are hurting, that they're needing. And God says, yep, I got some people that will yield to me and do what's necessary to bring life and healing to the region. This is what Almighty God has called us unto. See, religion makes churches think that we are here for ourselves. And it's just like we are in a spiritual pep rally and feed me spiritually so I can just go home and do my life. No, that's not the purpose behind the church. Again, the purpose, the why is so that we can equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Yeah, you got to grow fully yourself. You should be on that track. But once you get started on that track, praise God, you are qualified now to start helping somebody else. You don't have to get a title. You don't have to get a degree. You don't have to be around for umpteenth years. Only thing you need to be is surrendered. As long as you are surrendered, praise God, you are qualified to start helping someone else to grow fully in Christ. We love our city. The third one is this, no family left behind. See, in war, armed forces, military has this mindset. We don't leave any of our soldiers behind. We put ourselves in peril, in danger, to make sure we go get our friends, our soldiers, our comrades that may be out there that's wounded. Or maybe even some, watch this, that are dead. They said, we're not leaving them here. We're taking them home. And part of the language and heart and culture that I want to emphasize for all of us is, come on, have a mindset. No family left behind. You see something going on here with this family, that family, whatever the case may be, this individual. Then have the heart that, you know what, let me, what can I do? Watch this. What can I do to help them grow fully in Christ? Help them to recover. No family left behind. Then, as our cultural point, you know, even shares core value, that we are one team. Come on, say it with me. We are one team. One team. Here we go again. That sense of unity. A sense of oneness. One team. Not a bunch of teams together. It's not a league. We're just one team. Come on now. With one vision. Speaking with one voice. And pursuing one victory. This is a no-strife zone. Come on now, that's another one of, you know, these language points. This is a no-strife zone. Strife is one of the common tricks of the enemy to get individuals off into a place that's called offended. Watch this. Let me separate the word for you. Off-ended. It's one of those temptations that comes up. And it comes up, it can come up at any particular time. And watch this. And when you don't deal with it, if you just gloss over it and you don't deal with it, it's still, you know, growing in your heart. And then the next time something happens that I don't like this, then all of that stuff rises up to the top. So I told you, I don't. Come on, people get really interesting. I've been doing this for a long time. Come on, I've been pastoring this church for 17 years. Doing ministry before that for a number of years. And I've seen a ton of cases where individuals fall into this strife zone, fall into a sense of offense. I remember one, you know, notable time for myself that, you know, it was a temptation for me. There was something going on, and I'm talking about with my pastor, that he did, I disagreed with. Come on now, just because someone's your pastor doesn't mean you just got to agree with everything. This idea. It wasn't something, obviously, of scriptural, because then that is something that you should agree with your pastor on. But this was something else. It was kind of, you know, different element. And I went away from it offended. Now, I didn't tell him, you know, blatantly that I was offended. But after he gave me certain news, I kind of looked. And I walked away and said, okay. And that thing started to turn over in me. And I'm just like, you know what? I don't have to put up with this. See, I know y'all never had feelings and stuff like this, but I'm just gonna share about myself. And like, you know, who, what, when, why? Think he can do that? Oh, I was offended. I was right at the point of aborting the call of God on my life. I was about to walk away from all that. I was like, you know what, whatever. I was about to go. And thankfully, I stayed, you know, in connection with God enough for him to be able to get my attention. And I never forget, Spirit God said this. He said, son, so you mean to tell me you're going to allow this one thing to cause you to ignore the numerous things I've used him to bless your life with? You're going to let this one thing? Man, how many relationships, you know, maybe you don't have right now? I don't have right now because somebody let one thing. They completely forgot the 250 things. But that one thing, got into their feelings and walked away. There's a no-strife zone. Listen, you see some strife, you see some issue, come on, you address it. Come on, you remind the person, say, this is a no-strife zone. And listen, we're not just going to gloss over it. Come on, you got to decide to release that. See, don't just gloss over it. Be like, yeah, okay, I'm fine. No, you're not. You're lying. Come on, let's deal with it. Let's release it. Let's cast it over on God. See, watch this. Now we go back to earlier in the message. People will hear that word from God, and then they'll walk away. Or we'll do the fake thing. We'll be like, yeah, amen, amen. You're right, but you still hold it. You might be able to fool others. Might even be able to fool yourself. You never fool God. So glad you are here. You know what? I want you to know, I am so glad you all are here. Come on, come on. I'm so glad y'all are here online. Come on, that's just one of our intentional language points. That we want individuals to know, we are so glad you're here. I mean, it is a privilege and an honor. I'm so thankful and glad that you are here. Yeah. And then the last one is, it's a privilege to serve on this team. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's a privilege to serve on this team. Watch this. I have to slow down. And this is what happens sometimes. We don't slow down. I have to slow down to remind myself, you know what? I could have been dead and gone years ago. But Almighty God has graced me with the privilege and opportunity to serve people as their pastor, counselor, etc. It's a privilege. Listen, God could have chosen somebody else. But he chose you. He chose me. You never want to lose that sense of gratitude, that sense of, watch this, reverence for what God allows us to be a part of. It is a privilege to serve on this team. So we'll finish right here because I'm over time. Psalm 133 says this, how wonderful and pleasant it is when brothers live together in harmony, for harmony is as precious as the anointing oil that was poured over Aaron's head, that ran down his beard and onto the border of his robe. Harmony is as refreshing as the dew from Mount Hermon that falls on the mountains of Zion. And there, come on now, in that place of harmony, unity, the Lord has pronounced his blessing, even life everlasting. That's what Almighty God desires of us, that we're in this place of harmony, that we're in this place of unity. Glory. I want to ask everyone to do something for me. We don't normally do this, but this Sunday, I want to ask everyone, even at home too. Come on, everyone just stand up with me at this point. I want us to pray something out loud together. And you're going to see it come up on the screen. And I'm going to ask that you, as well as myself, we don't just simply recite the words, but we declare them from a heart that is surrendered to God. So we see here on the screen, let me make sure I turn around. There we go. Everyone together, online as well. Come on, let's pray. Father, may we forever be a people who honors you. We are one team that loves you and all people. Fill us afresh with your spirit as we go out to fulfill our why in life, to help all people to grow fully in Christ. May we have this focus in our marriage, family, business, relationships, career, and pursuits. Thank you for your blessing that rests upon us as doers of your word and those who know how to live in extreme unity. We rally around one vision, speak with one voice, and pursue one victory. We believe you for an awakening and revival in our cities. May our lives constantly provide the people in our world the opportunity to see and experience Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen. Father, we bless you. Come on, lift up your hands. We'll be right there. We honor and magnify you. Yeah, we just want to see people be able to see and experience you, Lord God. So help us to live lives, Daddy. Yeah, to open up our mouths in ways that indeed fosters that oneness with you. We love you. We count it an absolute privilege and an honor to be a part of your team. In Jesus' name. Now, where every head is still bowed, every eye closed in prayer, listen closely to me, just very quickly. If you're not a part of this team, I'm talking about not Impact Church, but the team of relationship with Almighty God, I want to pray for you. I want to pray with you. God loves you with an amazing love, and he's called you home. And listen, as you heard me share earlier, it's not based upon what you do. It's based upon what he did. And the only thing he's asking for of you and me is that we surrender. Yeah. That we have, you know, the heart like we were singing earlier, that I won't go back to the way it used to be. I surrender now, Daddy, unto your will and your way. So if that's you, just one invitation, just that one invitation. If that's you, you want to now finally get to know God like he gets, like he knows you. Let me pray for you and let me pray with you. While heads are bowed, eyes are closed in prayer, I want to ask everyone to do this with me. Lift up two hands unto heaven, right there where you are, at home, here in the auditorium. Say this out loud with me. Dear Father God, thank you so much for your amazing love that you've given to me through your Son, the Lord Jesus, who lived for me, who died for me, and who rose for me. Today, Jesus, I surrender all. I adopt your plan, your purpose, and your pursuit for my life. Thank you for making me your own. I'm your child. You're my Lord. Amen. Come on, somebody rejoice right there with us. Praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We bless you, Father, and magnify your wonderful name. We are your children, sir. You are our Lord. Thank you so much for that. Listen, if you're here present and you prayed that prayer out of the sincerity of your heart for the very first time, making a declaration, you know what? Jesus is my Lord now. I'm coming into a relationship with God. I want to applaud you. When you are exiting, we have a booklet. It's free. It's called A Fresh Start. It's a 7-day devotional that will help you.